Some time ago, a condemned prisoner waited anxiously for an expected pardon. The fatal death date arrived, and no word had come from the governor's office. He died in the electric chair at the appointed hour. I'll be back in a moment to talk about the amazing case of the unpardonable crime. Hello, this is Joe Cruz in the Amazing Facts broadcast, facts which affect you. Well, the saddest spectacle in society today is a young criminal bitter against life and dedicated to vengeful violence. And the saddest spectacle in religion is the man or woman who has committed the unpardonable sin against heaven. I suppose the most fateful words Jesus ever uttered are those found in Matthew 12:31-32. He said, "Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. And whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come." Now there it is, and many people are very confused about this doctrine of Christ. There's been much speculation about the unpardonable sin. How does a person commit it? And how do we know when it's been committed? Now, first of all, let me hasten to say that God is a God of infinite love. He desires everybody to be saved and has made full provision for that very end. According to the promise of 1 John 1:9, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins if we simply confess them and repent. And no matter how deep down the stains of transgression go, the blood of Jesus is able to make atonement for us. Isaiah says, "Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow." Now, in view of these promises, why should there be such a thing as an unpardonable sin? If God has made such complete arrangements for a person to be pardoned, how can he lose eternal life? Now remember, folks, this sin is not pardoned because it's not confessed. The only sin God can't forgive is the one that's not been repented of, that hasn't been confessed, and that's never forsaken. That's the unpardonable part of this sin against the Holy Spirit. Now, let's hasten on to examine some scriptures to find the full answer to our question. Let's remember first that it is a sin. Some people think of it as suicide. Others consider it to be some terrible cursing of the Holy Spirit, and still others think of it as some dreadful immorality. But do we know, friends, what sin is according to the Bible definition? Now, this is a sin. It's the unpardonable sin. But what is sin? Listen, 1 John 3:4 says, "Sin is a transgression of the law." Now, this sin, the unpardonable sin, must have something to do with the breaking of God's law. Paul goes on to clarify that the law involved is the Ten Commandment law. So the unpardonable sin has to do somehow with the breaking of that Ten Commandment law. And we also know, of course, that it has to do with offending the Holy Spirit in some way, because it is a sin against the Holy Spirit. Now, what is the primary work and function of that Holy Spirit anyway? John 14:26 tells us, in fact, Jesus says it there, that the Spirit of God will guide us, or rather teach us, all things. And then John 16:13 says he'll guide us into all truth. And those are all the words of Jesus. John 16:7 says that he'll reprove the world of sin. So here we have the three main offices of the Holy Spirit. He will teach us, guide us, and convict us of sin. And as long as the Holy Spirit is permitted to do these things for a person, he could never be guilty of committing the unpardonable sin. But now, just suppose that I refuse to be taught and guided by the Spirit. Suppose I refuse to be reproved of breaking God's law. In that case, the Holy Spirit will never be able to perform his work in my life. In Genesis 6:3, God said, "My Spirit shall not always strive with man." Now, I want you to take particular note of what the people were doing when God said that. They were lying, stealing, committing every other sin known to man. And as Noah preached to them, the Spirit of God was present to convict them of their sins. But those people rejected the message of Noah. They refused to listen to the voice of God that pleaded with them while he was preaching. Now let me ask you something. Is this same condition prevailing in the world today? According to Ephesians 4:30, we find exactly the same rejection of the Holy Spirit taking place today. Paul says, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption." So people are refusing God's message. They're spurning the still small voice of the Holy Spirit. You may not think that this is such a terrible sin, but remember that the Holy Spirit is the only connecting link between God and our hearts. If that lifeline is ever broken, we're completely separated from heaven. David realized this when he prayed there in Psalm 51, "Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me." You see, just as a drowning man can refuse to take the rope that's thrown to him, so we can refuse the Holy Spirit if we want to. But friends, we cut ourselves off completely from God and from salvation if we do that. But now let's consider how a man commits this terrible sin. I've put down three ways in which it might be done. First of all, if we refuse to confess and forsake our sins, we'll surely offend the Spirit. Proverbs 28:13 says, "He that covereth his sin shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy." Now that means that if we're openly hostile to Christ and His Word, we finally get set into that mold, and soon we don't even care about religion. Our heart becomes hard and determined, and we resist every impulse of God. The second way in which we can commit this sin is to persistently put off the warning of God's Spirit. We may have good intentions about the future, but nevertheless, we neglect the opportunity that comes to us day by day, and therefore we become guilty before God. This class, I believe, is represented by Felix in the Bible, who was so deeply convicted about his own sin. But you remember what he said finally to Paul, "Go thy way for now, Paul, and when I have a more convenient season, I will call for thee." Well, he never did, of course. Most people don't realize that when they neglect the truth, like Felix did, that they're actually rejecting it because they seldom ever do anything about it in the future. Now, the third and most important way in which we can offend against the Holy Spirit is by sinning against light. Now, I want us to spend some time considering this subtle snare because, friends, a greater number of people commit this sin through the rejection of new truth than in any other way. I'm convinced of that. We must never forget that truth is progressive. At no one time has all the truth ever been revealed to any one person. We're led on one step at a time in comprehending the will of God. As we accept the light that comes to us today, God will allow greater light to come, leading us further into the truth. Psalms 119:105 says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my pathway." As these new rays of light are shed on us, the Holy Spirit pleads with us to accept them and to walk in that truth. If we refuse to lay hold of all that light, we'll be left behind finally in the dark. The longer we resist the voice that speaks to us, the easier it becomes to reject more light. I remember as a boy on my father's farm back in North Carolina, we used to go to the stables very early in the morning to help take care of the cows. Of course, it would be very dark, and I would stay close to my dad as he hurried along with a lantern in his hand. I could imagine all kinds of dark forms and shapes and the shadows beside that path. I didn't dare let him get more than a step ahead of me because that lantern just flickered along, showing one step at a time. Now, in the same way, we're to follow the light of truth as it goes before us, revealing the way. And if we should ever stop while the Holy Spirit is pleading with us to go on, we'll find ourselves left alone in the darkness. Oh, how easy it is for us to get accustomed to the voice of the Spirit until we're actually hardened to it finally. Suppose you have an alarm clock to wake you up in the morning in time to get to work. But now just suppose you ignore that alarm for a few days and simply lie there until it runs down. Within a very short time, you'll be so hardened to that sound that you won't even wake up when it goes off. I was brought up on a farm, as I mentioned, and then I went away to college for 4 years. When I came back to the farm to visit Dad, I decided to go out and help him do some of the fall plowing. So I took the horse and cultivators and spent about an hour in the fields. By that time, my tender hands were covered with blisters from holding onto the handle of that old plow. And during the next few days, I spent more and more time following that horse through those fields until finally, after a few days, My hands became so tough to the plow that I didn't even notice that they were sensitive at all. Well, now that's the way it is with our hearts, friends. They're sensitive to God's Spirit when He first speaks to us. But gradually we become insensitive by refusing to heed that voice which speaks. And this way we fall into the condition which we call the unpardonable sin. I don't believe that we can designate any one certain sin as the unpardonable sin, but it's actually a state into which we fall as a result of resisting God's Spirit. 1 Timothy 4:2 illustrates this unfeeling condition in a very graphic way. It speaks about a seared conscience. It says, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having your conscience seared with a hot iron. Now, many have tried to excuse themselves for breaking God's commandments on this very point of feeling. After resisting the truth for some time, they begin to feel that stealing and Sabbath breaking and breaking into the other commandments is not really very important after all. But here's another good question. Who is the most liable to commit the unpardonable sin? Well, I can tell you that it's not that vile sinner or the abandoned reprobate who's the most susceptible to this transgression. Never forget it, my friend. It's the church member who stands in the greatest danger of resisting the Holy Spirit. We sometimes have the idea that God has revealed all the truth to us already, and we're very apprehensive of new light that may come through. And we argue that the creed has already been drawn up for our religion, therefore we don't have any interest in knowing anything else. But look at this in John 8:31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on Him, "If ye continue in My word, then are ye My disciples indeed." Now this means that we're not simply to hear the word of truth and believe it, but we're to practice it and continue to practice it in order to please God. How easy it is to convince people about the truth. How many times people say, "Yes, I believe you're right," but then they don't step out to obey what they've learned. And if we don't continue in God's Word by actually living the truth and obeying the commandments of God, we're not meeting the test of the Bible at all, friends. 1 John 5:3 gives us a clear picture of the test as it applies to every person. "For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous." Now, how do you stand in relation to this great test, friend? Are you striving to live according to the light of truth that God has revealed to you? Or is it possible that you're actually resisting the Spirit that has spoken to you about the things you ought to be doing and about how you should be obeying the commandments of God? Oh, don't ever make the mistake of thinking that you can do the will of God whenever you want to. You can't do it. You must do the will of God when the Spirit speaks. There's a time when the Spirit will not speak, and you can't do the will of God. There's a time when He does speak, and it's possible for you to do it. Therefore, the Bible says today is the accepted time. Now is the moment for you to step out to obey all the light and truth that has come into your life. That's why Jesus warned that we should walk in the light while we have the light, lest darkness come upon us. Well, the solution to the unpardonable sin is the new birth, friends. When we're born of God and love Him supremely, we'll be delighted every day to obey Him. And Jesus said, "If you love Me, keep My commandments." We can't really obey Him unless we love Him truly from the heart. Now, today's message is available on request if you just write for it. And when you write, ask for the booklet, Point of No Return. That's the material that we've been dealing with in this special series on the unpardonable sin. And now, this is Joe Cruz saying goodbye for today.